Welcome to Future of Work, a series exploring the revolutionary trends, technologies, and mindsets that are shaping the way we approach the workplace. So no matter where you are working from or what your role is, pull up a chair and join us as we talk about the future of work. Today's guest is Neelam Chand, the founder and CEO of Shift SLC. Neelam is an accomplished diversity, equity, and inclusion practitioner with a decade of experience embedding multiculturalism into business strategies, as well as facilitating critical dialogue on systemic change within a workplace environment. As businesses around the world continue to prioritize a diversified and inclusive workplace, we hope her insights will help you better understand how to approach this important work at your own company.
Hey, Neelam, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you on today. Not too long ago, you decided to take a chance on yourself and pave the way to create what is now called Shift SLC. And I know personally how life-altering a decision to bet on yourself to start a company can be, and the impact it can have on family members and friends and life in general. And so I would love to just kind of start hearing a little bit about your background and what ultimately led to you founding Shift SLC.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me and for engaging in conversations that are really important. So I've been doing diversity, equity, and inclusion work for over 12 years. I started off in the nonprofit sector, moved into higher education, and then sort of ended it in the corporate space. And one thing that was very common was that, you know, I'm a woman of color doing this work within these organizations. So that already poses several different barriers for me to actually do this work because of my personal identity, but then also the work itself. At the time, there wasn't a lot of buy-in. And so hitting several walls after, you know, being in several different industries, I decided at the end that I needed to do this on my own and I needed to do it my own way. The pandemic hit us pretty hard, all of us. And then there was a broader conversation nationally on racial injustice in 2020. And I was, you know, I just had a baby at the time. And so it's not the best time, I would say, to start your own business. In 9 to 5, that's stable. The work meant so much to me, and that I needed to do it in a way that I felt authentic doing it, and not having to work within different environments where, again, people are still wondering whether this work is even important or not. And so I quit and I decided to launch my own business. And I was worried, I was scared to do it because of the time. But I was lucky enough to have the support of my family to launch it. So then I launched Shift SLC, and it's been about a year and a half. I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't have it. I wish I had done it sooner, to be honest. But I do think that the time frame is different. I do think that people care about this work in a different way. They have a different way of looking at diversity, equity, and inclusion. They're having conversations that they wouldn't have otherwise had years ago. I think the momentum, and even though I say the timing was scary, I think it was the best time to do it because people were engaged in these deeper conversations that I, throughout my whole career, hadn't seen. That's how I started, and that's why I started.
Well, first off, I want to say congratulations. Congratulations on all the success that you've had over the last, you know, I think it's been about a year and a half now.
Yeah.
Since you made that decision, and also congratulations on the baby boy. I know that I also had a baby during the pandemic. Well, my wife had a baby during the pandemic, and that's scary for a completely separate set of reasons. Yeah. Right. But congratulations. I come from a background where, I worked out in New York, where there's a lot of diversity, had an opportunity to rub shoulders with a lot of incredible people that all have very different backgrounds. And honestly, it was something that I found a ton of value in, being able to, you know, experience, you know, just what working in an environment like that, ultimately could be. And so, with that said, I'm curious, you know, just hearing a little bit about your background. You mentioned before transitioning and creating Shift SLC, you did work with larger corporations and as a diversity and inclusion officer. I imagine that prior to that, you did work also with smaller organizations. And did you notice any different, I guess, are the same challenges in smaller organizations found in larger organizations, or is it separate based off of, you know, obviously a number of variables, but one of which being size?
I would say that some of those challenges are the same. And I don't think, so here's the challenge within the challenge. I think organizations don't entirely know what the challenge is. So they kind of go to, we need more representation, so let's recruit more representation. Let's recruit more women. Let's recruit more Black, Indigenous people of color. Let's be a more, let's put effort into that recruitment piece. But maybe their organization's not quite ready to do any kind of recruitment of any sort to put into this robust strategy. So I think the challenge that I saw people were up against, regardless of size of the organization, was that they didn't really know where to start. They kind of just went with the flow. Everybody was talking about, and everybody still talks about, how important it is to have representation in leadership and how important it is for your workforce to reflect the communities and the customers that you serve. Yes, those things are really important. So that's what people kind of go to. But there are so many different pre-work that needs to be done. There needs to be a foundation laid before you go out and start recruiting people. So recruitment's like an example, but overall the answer to your question is, I don't think people even know what the challenges are. They don't actually look inward to really do a true authentic diagnostic to understand where the challenges lie. I think that's where the problem is, regardless of size. And so, yeah, that's at least what I've seen within working, in organizations and, consulting organizations.
Interesting. Yeah, no, thank you. That's, I mean, to sum it up, right, is it depends,
which
I feel like, it can be, yeah, no, but, you know, with that, kind of following up on that question, I guess, is I would imagine then that one thing that you do, in your role and Shift SLC's role is help organizations look inward and identify what are the challenges here specific to your organization. Is that correct? Or is that a different approach?
Yeah, no, there is no boilerplate or a silver bullet that will just work across different organizations. Each organization and where they're geographically located, it all matters in the sense of what their challenges are going to be. It's going to be very unique to the organization. So I think that's even training organization. For me, it's really important that that's tailored down to what's relevant to what's happening within the organization. So there needs to be some research done before you go out and do this blanket, you know, course for people to learn about, whether it be bias or whatever it is. I think really understanding where the organization is in their journey and then understanding where the needs are is probably the best place to start. But yeah, I think that if I were to come in with a blueprint that I've used for other organizations, I just don't think it'll serve anyone well. So yeah, very different. I come in with a clean slate with each organization that I work with. And some of the challenges are similar. Some of the challenges are exactly the same. And so that's, you know, a little bit easier to tackle, I guess, because I've done it before. But I do look at each organization as their own individual organization, especially when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Well, I think that's really, really powerful. And I also think that, you know, to your point, even if a challenge is shared, you know, with an organization that you're now working with, that you had worked with in the past, there's nuances and complexities that I'm sure just, you know, aren't identical, right? And so even if a solution is similar, it's not the same, which totally makes sense. And I guess, you know, as we do look over, you know, just the scope of your work and what you have seen working with all of these different organizations, both prior to Shift SLC and now at Shift SLC, I'd imagine that there are some patterns that are noticed in the workplace. And I'd be curious, you know, what your thoughts are on what makes today an employee decide to stay with an organization? The labor market is incredibly competitive. The Great Resignation is real. And some organizations are succeeding in keeping people there despite, you know, these offers, maybe even higher pay and whatnot coming from competitors. Do you have any thoughts around what organizations do and can do to keep employees to stay at their organization?
Yeah, that's a good question. So employees these days, and you know, the workforce, this right now, people are looking to work for organizations that align with their values. There's a great level of discernment in finding an organization that really truly fits their lifestyle and values. And so when organizations move from this sort of business-centered model to an employee-centered model, then you're going to see more success because that's what the market's looking for. You see that a lot, just even just consumers, people who are looking for brands, they're hoping to align with brands that also align with their values, with the things that they stand for, that take a stance in social issues, in political issues. Those are things that are very important. So when it comes to employees looking for the right fit, they're looking for organizations that have really put an effort in their cultural environment, that have taken a stance on social and political aspects of, you know, anything, topics that come up, that have clear ideas about what diversity, equity, and inclusion work is. And that's outlined, and it's not just in words, but it's in action. And that they can see themselves reflected in leadership positions, or they can see themselves moving and building their careers within an organization. Ultimately, people just want to know that the organization that I work for cares about me, regardless of the pay. I've seen several people, you know, sort of decline a high paying job because the culture just wasn't the right fit. And so I think that when you're offering these packages, they need to have a reflection of what the culture is going to be like, where the organization stands in terms of social issues. What's the day-to-day going to be like? Are there policies that protect underrepresented individuals and employees? What does that look like? Is that clear and upfront? Is that crystal clear within an organization? What does, you know, work-life balance look like? Is it flexible? I mean, for us who have kids, you know, this remote working is probably pretty ideal for us. But some folks, you know, they may need personal, you know, they want that personal connection, and maybe that's a different thing. But if organizations really pay attention to the nuances of an individual and sort of what their needs are, and then tailor their workplace environment to those needs, you're going to see more success. You're going to see more people wanting to work for your organization over another organization that has great pay.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. And you know, as a founder myself, hiring is incredibly important. You know, when it comes down just on the business side, operational expenses, the vast majority of dollars do go to people at the end of the day. And hiring the right people for the right roles is critical to build a successful and sustainable business long term. And, you know, to your point, I think wearing your organizational, you know, core values on your sleeve, you know, to put it simply, so that people understand who you are as an organization beyond just the pay and these other things that are all included in a typical offer letter, actually help you identify the right prospects much easier, because people come to the interviews knowing, hey, I want to work with this organization because their core values reflect my own core values to an extent, right? And so I think there's a lot of power there.
Yeah.
And you kind of mentioned some of the changes that have happened and ultimately what led you to create Shift SLC, right? And it's no secret over the past couple of years, there's been so many changes in the world, in the workplace, mm-hmm. you know, in life. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what changes you have seen happening in regards to diversity and inclusion in the workplace? And you touched on it lightly already, but I would imagine that your experience prior to several years ago, prior to 2020, prior to the pandemic, that just this environment is much different than it is today. And I'd be curious kind of what that looks like.
Yeah. So before 2020, the great 2020, I feel like I was constantly up against whether diversity, equity, inclusion work was important. And sort of we relied heavily as practitioners, and any practitioners out there that are listening, we relied heavily on the Deloitte and other types of the McKinsey report, all of the different data that's out there to support that, hey, diversity, equity, inclusion is good for the business. I hated relying on those statistics because this is human work. And so it's important regardless, but to move people and to understand how people are motivated, especially leaders that are leading these organizations, they needed to hear the value in terms of dollars. That was then. Now it's not about whether this is important or not. That's not the question that people are asking. If they're asking that question, they're outdated. They're irrelevant. That's not the questions that people are asking now. The question is, this is important. Whether I truly believe it or not, regardless of that, this is important to what's happening in our society, to the trends that's, you know, the way their society is trending. This is important. The question now is how to do the work. So I'm no longer convincing people and trying to get all cute about how to get people on board and get buy-in. Now it's about getting people to understand how to do this work and keep it sustainable within an organization so that it continues on. So it's not just like a one and done training or a statement, but it's something that's continuous for the longevity of the organization. I would say those are the two big differences. My conversations are a bit easier, especially when I'm talking to leaders and CEOs of organizations. They're not wondering if this is the right thing to do or whether they need to be doing this. They're just seriously wondering how and where to start. That's the biggest difference I'm seeing.
Yeah, no, that's I can absolutely see that, just not having been involved in the way that you are, but just having, you know, connected with others that where this is a topic on their mind and just kind of hearing the conversations, not surprising at all that, conversations have become much easier when it comes to diversity and inclusion in the workplace. And I guess this is kind of broad and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm, you know, as leaders try to identify what they can do, I'm curious, what advice would you give them to make an impactful change within their own workplace, recognizing that they obviously have their own culture, their own employees, that, you know, everything is unique to them. You know, what could they potentially do to start this, start creating a change and an impact for the lives of their employees and as an organization?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing you want to do is you want to talk to your employees, the people who are experiencing your organization. And I laughed a little at the beginning because I also think hiring a consultant or someone who is skilled at this is going to be a really key factor in beginning your journey. If you're beginning your journey, even if you're in the middle of your journey, because you need someone who truly is highly skilled in understanding where biases may play out in your policies, in your practices, in your day-to-day sort of decision-making. That's not something that a leader can just wake up one day and look at and say, I can recognize some of the biases. You're going to need some outside help to really understand where your biases are within the organization, within the structure of your organization. But one thing that people can do right now, if there's trust built, is really asking their employees, surveying, focus group, whatever it is, whatever means of communication that you've already established with your employees, ask, find out what is the most meaningful work and the most impactful work when it comes to diversity, equity, inclusion for people within the organization. What's missing? What is the organization not doing? What are we not thinking about? Asking your employees is probably one of the easiest thing to do. And then from there, really identifying, you know, what are some of those trends? What are the issues that the employees are talking about? I think that's really important. I think just starting the conversation. So to kind of tie both questions, the question that you asked before, what's changed? My work is done through the lens of racial equity and anti-racism. That's why it was easy for me to start my own business quickly, especially around a time where that was the area of focus for a lot of people. People didn't know how to have those conversations. And that's because prior to that, a lot of organizations were not having those conversations. They weren't using the word in the term racism in their conversations. It was just sort of a taboo word. And so then you move from not having those conversations at all to now having to tackle those conversations because now society is having those conversations. A lot of people, a lot of leaders, a lot of employees were flustered. They didn't know how to address this. And so I would say asking for feedback from your employees is important, but also having the conversation is really important. Saying the things that you're afraid to say or afraid to talk about is important. Talking about racism or transphobia or homophobia or, you know, xenophobia, all of the different issues of discrimination, having those conversations in a leadership space is important. Seeing where people are at in that journey, in that conversation is going to be really important as well.
And what's so interesting to me about your answer is that it's actually so closely aligned with what we at Tactic, we handle helping organizations manage the hybrid workplace. And similarly, you know, every organization is unique in the sense of, you know, there's no one right way to do hybrid. Everybody has a separate version of what that looks like. And so when people ask us, you know, what's the right way to go about identifying the right hybrid workplace policy for us, our number one answer is talk with your employees.
Yep.
You know, survey your employees, understand what they're thinking about, what they need, right? And by virtue of doing that, you'll ultimately identify much quicker what the right strategy is for your organization than you will trying to just guess and come down with a top-down approach on this is what we are going to do and everybody's just going to abide by it.
Absolutely.
Just gathering that feedback. And so, you know, with that said, there has been a ton of changes, you know, as I mentioned, and as we all know, over the last couple of years, what changes do you hope to see or you expect to see in the workplace in the coming 5-10 years as we kind of look down the road in the direction that we're headed?
Yeah. Well, here's something that I've been thinking about a lot. So you're asking this question in a time where I've been thinking about this a lot. In the past, I've seen this work become very important and then not important. It's sort of this wave. And I'm seeing that wave a little. I'm seeing people at the end of 2020 really wanting to commit to this work and then it tapering off. And I do think that, you know, whatever happens socially deeply impacts how organizations respond. And so right now, socially, there's several things going on. But I think that because there's several things going on, organizations are like, okay, we need to go back to business now. And they've sort of taken some strides, but then have held off on others. Whether it be, you know, we talk about anti-racism, we talk about racial equity, those things are politically charged. They don't need to be, but they are. And so a lot of leaders and organizations have backed off a little from having those conversations. And what I hope to see is that that's not the case. I'm hoping to see that people care enough consistently without some national or global social event. That they care enough to make this second nature, that they care enough to build this into their organization so that it's the air that they breathe as a leader. It's the air that they breathe as an employee. It's part of the culture. And that's what I would hope to see. I've seen some organizations do it and do it well, but I've seen a majority of the organizations sort of step back. And that's harmful. That's harmful for your organization in general. And for the employees and the future employees that you're trying to get, the future talent that you're trying to get within your organization. So I'm hoping that the momentum kicks up and I'm hoping that there's some sustainability to it and there's some real true care in this work.
I think, you know, for anything to be impactful, that has to be backed by care when it comes to people, right? And you can't, it's really hard to implement a change that you're hoping to benefit the lives of people without caring about them. And I totally agree. And, you know, it also speaks to kind of, you know, what we discussed a little bit earlier on, it sounds like just having this become embedded, you know, not just some one ditch effort, but something that becomes embedded in the organization itself, you know, long term and moving into the future, as opposed to just, you know, a one time thing.
Yeah. I want to add to that. I've worked with organizations that they're, you know, they're like, we just need a strategy to do, you know, some great recruitment and we just need some trainings on, you know, bias and microaggressions and whatnot. They get surprised when I tell them that, well, one, when you think about recruitment and you're thinking about putting a strategy together, you're going to need to allocate at least 10 years to see the fruit of that labor.
It's a long time.
This is not a quick fix. It took you years and years and years to have a homogenous workforce. It's going to take you years and years and years to undo that. It's also going to take years and years and years for people to not have the biases that they have. That takes a long time. You're changing behaviors. You're changing attitudes. It takes a long time. And I don't think people know that it's a long journey ahead.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to business, people always want to, you know, see results quickly. I mean, heck, I even like to see results quickly. Right. And so, I totally get it, but I just want to say, you know, again, congratulations on all the success that you've had. Not just, you know, over your long career, but, you know, in starting Shift SLC, I know it's a very big decision and I'm so excited to see you continue to grow and continue to help organizations. And thank you again for your time today, being on the show and helping share some of the knowledge and the things that you're seeing to help organizations really drive change and improve their culture and improve the lives of their employees. And so with that, we will let you go. But again, thank you so much for your time. And hopefully you'll be a longtime friend of ours here on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
This series was brought to you by Tactic, the hybrid work solution of the future. Tactic will help your team enjoy all of the benefits of a flexible workplace while taking care of the less enjoyable challenges. Let's make work better together. Get your free trial today at gettactic.com/future.